Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you know that my family likes to hike, and this summer we got a lot of opportunity to do that while we were with my husband's family in Europe in the Alps. And one of the great hikes that we did, we came to a place, we were above tree line, so, you know, no trees that, for example, would absorb sound. And we came to a place where there was sort of an open clearing and a bunch of other mountain ridges surrounding us, also free of trees, lots of rocks. And at that moment, I recalled the great joy and delight of children when they can hear their voices echo. And the sound of their cries just sort of bounces off the stone. And I could hear myself as they were running ahead of me, because they like to do that. I could hear myself, my own voice echoing, "Christian, Christian, Christian, Christian." Echoes are lots of fun, at least if they're not annoying you by way of your mechanical equipment. In the mountains, they're just clear, glorious reminders of the great power and beauty and mystery, I think, of God's creation. And I had to think about echoes in reading this other story of time spent on a mountain, the story of the Transfiguration, in which Jesus, along with Peter and James and John, go up on top of a mountain where he, Jesus, is transfigured before them, and a cloud comes and there is a voice from heaven. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Because it's a voice that comes from a cloud and clearly a voice from God the Father, I have to imagine it was a big booming voice, although the text itself doesn't say that. Nor does the text indicate that there were hard rock faces off which the voice could sound and echo. But how about these words from the earthly father that meets them at the bottom? "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son. He is my only child. This is my son. I beg you, look at my son, my son, my son, my son, my son." Somehow think that by putting these two stories together, the story of Jesus in glory, shining, the divinity shining through his seams up on that mountaintop, and the story of a desperate father amidst a desperate crowd at the bottom, I somehow think Scripture wants us to hear the voices of these two fathers together. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son. He is my only child." Jesus, for all his divinity, and the story of the Transfiguration is nothing if it is not a story about just who Jesus is in connection with God the Father. He is the very incarnation of the one who reigns in heaven, the one who can command clouds, the one who made mountains, the one who spoke to Moses on another mountain in shining glory not to be seen. Jesus is his very incarnation. And yet, it is the very mission of Jesus not to claim all that glory for himself, not to stay in heaven where he has all rights to be, not to hoard his glory as he most certainly could, not to stay even up on the mountain where he wouldn't have to deal with desperate people like us. But for us and for our sake, we'll say in a few minutes, he came down from heaven. And for the crowd and for their sake, he came down from the mountain. And he is always willing to be found in the faces of our neighbors, especially those who are in the deepest and most desperate need. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. How do you do that? By listening to the ones with whom he identifies. This teacher, I beg you, look at my son. He is my only child. And then this very one, this Word of God incarnate, who could demand and command us to listen, as the heavenly voice does, well, what does he do? He becomes the listener. To this one father amidst a great crowd, desperate. It is one of the longest stories, or I should say it's one of the longest requests in Scripture that anyone makes of Jesus. I don't know if anybody noticed. There are a lot of details in the father's story, not just simply my son has a demon, but my son has a demon, and it mauls him, and it makes him foam at the mouth. All the medical details that you might not like to share at the dinner table, here in the crowd, the man puts it all out there. And make no mistake, I suspect, that when this desperate father came to Jesus with this story, it wasn't a simple polite request because, as the father makes clear at the very end of his speech, well, the father had already tried to get some help from people affiliated with Jesus, and they could not heal him. And so somehow I imagine that when this father came with his long story and all of its details about what this demon does, it was shot through with desperation and perhaps even a little bit of anger. In the same way that you or I might be filled with anger if you had been trying to seek healing and could not find it. But Jesus, the one who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and who for this crowd came down from the mountain, the one whom the voice commands us to listen to, himself listens. The whole story, mauling, frothing demon, desperate plea, and all. It's who he is, Jesus, the listener. And I somehow wonder if it's in that mode of listening that Jesus brings his transfiguration, his shining glory right into our lives. Jesus wants us to tell him the whole story. And surely many of us have such stories, like the story of a desperate father. Surely many of us are longing to be noticed in the crowd. Surely many of us would love to have his listening ear, and he wants us to have it. So, his grace to us is not just simply a command to listen to him, but an offer that he will hear us. I wonder this week whether there might be opportunity for you to tell him your stories, and in that way, to find grace. And in so finding that grace, to offer it out to others. For Jesus is always to be found in the face of a neighbor, not only high and shining on a mountain, but often in the desperate plea of a story that might seem hard to listen to or to hear. In the voice of someone who it seems has more details to share than you might be wanting to hear, but who nevertheless is desperate for a presence of compassion and mercy and grace. And it is Jesus who sets us free to to be that listening ear. This past week, on Thursday, I gave the invocation at the Butler City Council meeting. It was my turn this year. It was my turn in February. I was up, and I noticed the agenda is the same all the time. There is the call to order, and then the prayer, and then the pledge, and then thereafter, it always says, persons to be heard. And I wonder, might that be on all of our agendas this week in the light of the one who shines in glory? Amen.